Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guest is Emily Shears, Director of Infection Prevention and Quality Improvement at UPMC Hammett. Emily, thanks so much for joining us. Let's jump right into it. Nationally, things have gotten progressively worse when it comes to COVID-19. Erie County's numbers have mirrored the nation and been steadily climbing. Can you share how many positive cases UPMC Hammett is currently treating?
So we have 24 patients in-house currently at Hammett with COVID-19. And we do keep a close eye on the community trends to make informed decisions and anticipate any increase in outpatient need for medical care and then also any increase in hospitalizations that we might see.
Locally, the county's case numbers have been consistently higher. Are the trends concerning right now?
Yeah, I think we're concerned. I feel like we're starting to get into that exponential growth where we're seeing the numbers, you know, really increasing day on day, week on week. And so we do get concerned that the spread is really uncontained right now. And then that obviously leads to more people getting sick.
Emily, how many people fear that the local hospitals are going to be overrun with COVID patients? And how do you respond to this fear?
Well, we've always been able to provide care to any patient for any medical need. But UPMC Hammett, along with our system, have robust plans in place that have been in place for years and years. And those are really so that we can scale up our capacity and manage healthcare for our community. So while we do expect to see an increase in patients, we are definitely very well prepared.
You know, Emily, I had a family member put off a procedure because they did not want to go into a COVID hotspot like a hospital. This is a dangerous thought process, isn't it, if someone has a pending medical procedure that should be done?
Yeah, absolutely. We want people to know that hospitals are extremely safe. We are a controlled environment. Everyone is masking. So the community can be reassured that we also don't intermix patients without COVID with anyone that has a concern or known COVID-19. So we have designated units that are secured and that have their own dedicated staff. So again, operations are extremely safe. Masking is 100%. Really, I don't think there's a safer place to be at this time than a hospital.
How important is it for patients to continue to see their family physician? Routine preventative care or just even a checkup?
Yeah, we do think this is extremely important. We want our patients and community to be healthy. And preventative care can stop a problem that could become an issue and require more urgent care or even hospitalization in the future. So we do want people to visit their providers. We also are encouraging them to get their flu shot this year as well.
Emily, have you had caregivers contract the disease? And is this an ongoing fear of yours?
Well, you know, just like the rest of the community, we're not immune to COVID. And as one of the largest employers in the county, we have had staff get exposed in the community, you know, to family members, friends, et cetera. So we do have caregivers. We follow the appropriate public health guidance to make sure that they stay home and follow the isolation precautions that are required.
Can you walk us through a positive COVID-19 diagnosis and what happens from the positive diagnosis to the treatment to the recovery?
Okay, so there's really, to describe this, two tracks. So there's either someone that's tested as a symptomatic outpatient, so they went to their doctor, they were sick and they got a test. The vast majority of those patients will convalesce or get better at home. Now, other people that need emergency care or come to the hospital because they're having symptoms that are concerning, maybe hard to breathe, et cetera, we test those people that meet admission criteria right here in the hospital. And if they get admitted, then obviously we use treatments like steroids and other things to help people's lungs recover, fluids to rehydrate individuals, you know, any other services or specialties that they would need to see. And then discharge can often be to home or to a rehab.
Emily, do you know what the percentage of serious cases there are, and are there a lot of people on ventilators right now?
Well, to start with the last question first, our rates of ventilation have been much, much lower than early in the spring, and I don't have a specific number for all of these. But we do see a small portion of people present to the emergency department. We don't collect for COVID-19 there. They do, but they can get an order for an outpatient collection. Only those that meet admission criteria or have severe illness will be tested and admitted through the emergency department.
Can you talk about the ER and how those on the front lines at UPMC Hammett are dealing with this pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, our emergency department staff, they're such a resilient group of people. They've done a phenomenal job along the way through this pandemic. As you can imagine, they're really experts on how people present with this illness now and have done a great job making sure they cohort those people and get a test if appropriate. So they know really, you know, the ins and outs of this and have done a great job protecting themselves and protecting other patients.
In the past, we have discussed the national response to the pandemic, Pennsylvania's response to the pandemic, and the local response as well. Do you have specific thoughts on this surge from an expert's point of view, and should national, state, or local government take action now to stop the surge?
Yeah, you know, viruses are hard things because they can go really spread quickly through a community. So it's hard to say. I think we know what works now versus in the spring, and so we need everyone at this point to really take personal steps to limit exposure to others and to stop spread if they're sick. So if people are not feeling well, they should really stay at home. You know, winter's going to be a different time for all of us, but if we want to get through this kind of larger surge or second/third wave, we do need to be a little more mindful and I think a little more guarded on our regular routine daily activities.
Emily, in retrospect, do you feel a national mask mandate or a longer term shutdown would have been advisable to help stop the spread back in March or April?
Yeah, what we have seen just across our 40 hospital enterprises is that masking is one of the most effective things that we can do before we would get an effective vaccine. The mask, you know, we've learned along the way, not only protects you from me, but it also protects me from you. And so when both people are wearing masks in that, especially that 2-day pre-symptomatic period where people can not know that they will be developing disease, but they are effective at spreading the virus. So that mask is going to put a barrier in between. And so if both people have a mask on, that's two barriers that can really reduce the risk of that virus transmitting.
Emily, do you believe that caregivers have learned a great deal from this pandemic? Lessons that will help us, God forbid, if there is a threat such as this again?
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, these pandemics, thankfully, don't happen very frequently. But I think each pandemic comes, obviously, with a new virus or illness. So it naturally takes us a long time to get the science to really catch up with the spread and the emergence. And what are the characteristics and how do we limit spread? So I definitely think healthcare and manufacturers of supplies would be more conscientious of supply and emergence of anything new in the future. And I do think we have quickly learned, as I mentioned with the masking, how different prevention measures, even within hospitals, very quickly, what was effective and what was not.
There was a lot of talk about gatherings for the holidays and the cooler weather in general. Emily, can you explain the fears from a medical professional's point of view with all of this going on?
Yeah, so, you know, we know with the holidays coming up, family and friends often get together in larger groups. And that's, you know, just work get-togethers, family get-togethers, Friendsgivings become very popular. But what we want to caution people is that we have seen whole families come down with COVID. And really beyond that, even generations of families affected. And there's been some heart-wrenching situations. So I think people don't understand kind of the concentric effect, the concentric ring that goes out when one sick person exposes multiple people. Those people can develop symptoms and spread it to you know, multiple people themselves. So then again, you're having compounding effect. And within a family, that could be devastating. So we do want to caution during these upcoming months, really, again, to be aware of behavior.
I know the testing center at UPMC Hammett has done amazing work through this crisis. How is the center being used by the general public now? And it seems there may be some confusion about this, isn't there?
I don't know what the exact confusion is, but really the purpose and role hasn't changed since March when we opened. We will test anyone that is ill with a doctor's order. We schedule appointments. We don't take walk-ups. We do want to mention that we have also partnered on the community center level with Booker T. Washington, and we assist them with doing community level collections in conjunction with the Erie County Department of Health and the state of Pennsylvania.
You know, at my place of work, we have saliva tests, but the swabbing of the nose is a more comprehensive, better test for COVID, isn't it?
So this is a great question, and I think this will kind of waylay some confusion. So each type of test has the ability to actually be collected in multiple ways. So it's really more about the type of test, which is important, and interpreting the results and understanding the limitations. So the test that's done at Behrend is actually the same test that we run at our collection center. The difference is that collection type. So the test run at Behrend is what's called a PCR, or a nucleic acid amplification test, and that's really a gold standard for diagnosis. The interesting thing is you can run a PCR test from saliva, from a nasopharyngeal swab, from just a nasal swab, and a throat swab. It really depends what that particular test is validated for. Now, there are other tests like antigen tests that can also have multiple collection routes. It really is just specific to understanding what test you had and, you know, what it's been validated to give results.
Emily, is the incubation period 3 or 4 days, or does it really vary?
Yeah, exactly. So that's why we recommend people being symptomatic before they get a diagnostic test. When someone's exposed, the average onset after exposure or the average incubation until someone is going to develop disease from this virus is anywhere from really 4 to 5 days all the way to 7 days. Now, that's just the average. We have people quarantine for 1 to 14 days because an average is an average. You can have people that are early presentation of disease or people that may be later presentation of disease. But to your point, a negative test does not indicate that you may not develop future disease.
Emily, there has been a spike of cases in Erie County. Is this something that those in the medical community viewed as kind of inevitable, or have those numbers surprised you too?
You know, I don't think I was expecting as big of an increase in such a short period of time. I think we got through the late summer and early fall pretty quiet, and so I do think that lulled us into a sense of complacency just as a community. So now that we're seeing the numbers we're seeing, now I have an understanding that this will not end anytime soon, just based on, again, that exponential spread and kind of those concentric rings. So I didn't think we would surge or have an increase in the community this early, I guess, in the kind of winter season.
Does that make you more nervous about January and February?
Well, you know, historically in Erie County, the past two flu seasons, we have had our spikes or increases in March and February. That is the typical time that influenza spikes. Hopefully, if we're all masking, we won't have as severe of an influenza season as we did last year. I think February, we had almost 2,000 cases of influenza, much higher than any month we've had of COVID so far. So that would definitely compound our concern. We obviously are having the ability soon to run a COVID flu influenza A, influenza B, RSV test. And so that will also give us some insight as to what prevalence of which illness is going around in the community.
Emily, a few companies reportedly have vaccines that claim to be 90% or more effective. What will a rollout of a vaccine look like?
Yeah, so just as a system, we've been working closely with the state and federal authorities and following what they're calling Operation Warp Speed guidelines. And that what that is that's preparing us with all the necessary equipment, supplies, and processes to store vaccines, and then also facilitate a mass vaccination distribution when an approved vaccine and supply comes. So we have had experience with mass vaccination distribution. We did have Operation One Shot at multiple hospitals. Hammett was a site where we really safely and rapidly administered the seasonal flu vaccine in a very short period of time to our employees. So by testing this in preparation, we were able to take a look at our mass vaccination distribution process and then really formalize kind of best practices for this upcoming COVID-19 vaccination program.
Could we be looking at a rollout in March or April?
You know, they say there's nothing approved yet, but with early approval, they are hoping. We've heard from the state potentially December or January. So I think that would be an early estimation. And then, you know, February, March would probably be a little bit later. Again, it's likely going to be phased to higher risk individuals first. So it may start with some smaller populations earlier.
Many schools are on remote learning. I would imagine that from UPMC Hammett's perspective, that is a move that is really needed at this time.
Well, you know, it's been interesting, even in the United States as well as across the world, they're actually not seeing schools being a major contributor to the numbers. So while there have been some instances, schools are similar to a healthcare facility where it's a very controlled environment if kids are there, and masking practices and distancing has been very well defined. I think the concern is actually more the after-school activities and social gatherings as being where we've seen spread, particularly in our area. So I do think just as we come to work every day at the hospital and we are successful at not spreading COVID and we have 3,600 employees, I think schools have also been successful at not having any type of unsustained outbreaks and taking the appropriate measures.
Are there any demographic trends that you've seen during this COVID-19 pandemic and surge?
No, we track all of this information very closely across our system and by hospital. And right now we're really pretty much seeing an equal increase in terms of the trend line, that uptick in the graph in all age categories. So there's really not an age category that is being left untouched at this time.
Can you lay out your best advice if someone woke up this morning not feeling well and may be exhibiting symptoms?
Please stay home. That's the number one recommendation. So really at this point, we've called hundreds of people from the hospital and from our collection center. And I will stress again that, you know, 90% of the people are having very mild to slightly moderate symptoms. So a lot of people, when the illness starts, when the viral illness starts, will not necessarily have the hallmark, fever, cough, shortness of breath. Those are really 90% of patients will have that during the duration of their symptoms. So what we're finding is people may wake up with a headache, a sore throat, nasal congestion, quote unquote, sinus headache or sinus congestion, and then later down the line. So what's happening is people are resuming doing normal activities with those mild symptoms, obviously being effective at getting it in the community, and then don't get tested till they realize they've lost their taste of smell or their sense of taste or smell, and or have a cough, or maybe they did develop a fever. So if you have any change in your baseline in terms of having anything new in terms of an upper respiratory infection, stay home, contact your doctor for a virtual visit, and get a test to rule out COVID. And so that would be my number one advice.
As Erie's premium healthcare facility, are you as confident as ever in UPMC Hammett's preparedness to handle more cases should the surge continue to spiral out of control in Erie over the winter months?
Yes. I mean, not only are we backed by world-class healthcare within our own system, but our staff have mentioned this over and over. I just can't say enough about how people have really stepped up. You know, we have them in and out of the units constantly, and they're just doing such a great job taking care. So we're definitely well-prepared, experienced, ready to handle any increase that would come our way.
Emily, can you discuss the need to remain vigilant when it comes to wearing masks, washing hands, social distancing, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, really right now, if there's ever a time to get serious about masking and understanding that it works, it would be now. Again, distancing is effective if you're not with people within your own family or you're standing in line somewhere, et cetera. Please distance. And then again, I had just mentioned staying home when sick. So we also caution again, about gathering with those outside of your family or in large groups, as the increase in cases is really all across our network, across all the hospitals. And then really we're not alone in our county. It's really across the state and across the country right now. So caution to people traveling, that does put them at an increased risk if they're having a lot of contact with other people, again, outside their own home.
Are there other preventative measures that we all should keep in mind at this stage?
No, I mean, really, it's still that basic stuff. Masking, distancing, you know, disinfecting your hands often. So washing your hands, using sanitizer, staying home when you're sick, and not gathering within large groups.
Emily, how beneficial do you believe the UPMC affiliation has been during the crisis for UPMC Hammett? And I would imagine that due to your size and industry-leading care, that many things have been shared and learned.
Absolutely. I mean, our communication lines are open daily. So really, you know, from a supply chain perspective all the way to our clinical staff being involved in leading research, we have really stood together as a UPMC family. And I can say we call on our leading experts frequently. They are accessible. They have a lot of wonderful research and information on why they're making the decisions they are. So having access to the leading experts in the region and then also just the policies and procedures have been really good resources for us. As you can imagine, you know, everything from HR policies all the way to staffing and modeling and just the data to make us make informed decisions about what we're doing. And so, again, we have just such a robust network of support that it's been really, really great.
Emily, are flu shots recommended even more so this year?
Absolutely. We don't want people to get sick with anything, because really at this point, anything could be perceived as COVID. And so that would be something that you would have to get checked out.
Emily, thanks so much for joining us. You've been very insightful through all of this. Last question, do you have any final thoughts or items that you would like to mention about COVID-19 from UPMC Hammett's perspective? And are there things that listeners need to remember during this time?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing we're seeing right now is even if you have mild respiratory symptoms, please talk to your doctor about getting tested. We're seeing that I think the virus is having a much more mild presentation in most people. So, again, stay home, seek out some medical care, and make sure that you're not going out in public and potentially spreading.
Thanks so much, Emily. We really do appreciate your time. We've been talking with Emily Shears, Director of Infection Prevention Quality Improvement at UPMC Hammett. Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard Fridays at 12:30 p.m. and Saturdays at 9 a.m. Join us again next week as Dr. Ford is in the Business Spotlight.